Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. So today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website bestlifeonline.com. Question number one, which country has the most metal bands per capita? Is that A, the United States, B, Finland, C, Japan, or D, Brazil? Most headbanging metal bands per 100,000 population. Which country is that? And question number two, what is the length of the longest musical performance? Is it A, just under 10 hours? Is it B, 1 week? Is it C, almost a month? Or D, exactly 1 year? Or E, over 600 years long? So, the longest musical performance, how long is that? And the answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February the 5th. Well, it was on this day back in 1887, you may remember, that Verdi's opera Otello premiered at La Scala. And it was 78 years ago today, 1943, that Frank Sinatra made his debut as vocalist on radio's Your Hit Parade. 1943, today. Fad Cockrell's Swingin' introduces our country music news. It's entitled, Jimmy Fallon Almost Started Crying After Seeing Thad Cockrell's Swing Go to Number One. This is written by Breanne Tracy on the 28th of January, 2021 in People Magazine. Thad Cockrell thought it was time to throw in the towel. After 20 years in the music industry and seeing his most recent album, 2020's If In Case You Feel the Same, Flatline, following its release, the Nashville-based singer-songwriter, 48, had yet to have his big break. So on January the 3rd, he made a list of his goals for 2021, including find a new career. When you're making art on a commercial level, it's a conversation, and enough people have to sign up for that conversation in order to make it viable, Cockrell tells People. It was just not viable, you know. I have my master's in family therapy, and I also have been making hot sauce, so I thought maybe that's what I'll do. I was just really putting it out there. The next day, Cockrell sent his list of goals to his management. 2 hours later, they called him with news that would change his life. They were like, hey, we're not talking about the list that you sent. Jimmy Fallon has fallen in love with your song, Swingin', and it's like his anthem, and he wants you to come play the Tonight Show, he says. I can't tell you how speechless I was. Fallon, 46, discovered Cockrell Swingin', a track from If In Case You Feel The Same, during a chance trip to a local hardware store in Waynescott, New York, weeks ago. I go to this hardware store, and I'm the only person in there besides the kid working, he continues. I'm in some aisle looking for light switches, and I hear this song like, If I'm Gonna Go Down, I Wanna Go Down Swingin'. I go, I love this song. Who is this? I've never heard this song. Thinking the song might be something by George Harrison or ELO, Fallon pulled out his phone and Shazammed it. It said it was by Thad Cockrell, he says. I just kept listening to the song and I didn't move. It embodied my spirit at the time. It's such a fist-pumping kind of song and a good air guitar rock-out song. Something to crank in your car. Swingin' stuck with Fallon and soon became his weekend anthem. Cockrell made his Tonight Show debut performing Swingin' with the Roots. The Roots absolutely crushed it, Cockrell said. The best that Questlove put down, it was like, I think that's better than the version that we got on record. A longtime sports fan and former wrestler, Cockrell says he got the inspiration for Swingin' while thinking about the infamous 1990 boxing match between Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. It's the biggest upset in boxing history, he says. Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson at Mike Tyson's prime. But what nobody talks about is Mike Tyson knocked down Buster Douglas first. Buster Douglas at some point had to think, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep swinging. That's what the song's about. It's a song that says, what if you don't take defeat? After the Tonight Show performance, Swinging found its way to the number one spot on the iTunes chart where it currently sits. Fallon said, I freaked out. I went to number one, almost started crying. This is the coolest thing. Everyone is so elated here at the show. Everyone's dancing around like, wow, this is so awesome. I did not plan on it to go to number one or anything like that, he adds. That was beyond anything I thought. I was just interested. I thought it was a great song, and that's all I knew. This is a feel-good story, and it's a time when people want to hear stuff like this. And as a follow-up to last week's classical music article about the composition written for the January 20th U.S. inauguration, titled Madam Vice President, we now have that music, which is playing in the background now. Last week, that march was not available for downloading from iTunes, but could be heard on YouTube. At least one listener to last week's program recommended playing the piece in this program as soon as it became available after finally hearing the march. As noted last week, Major Dix wrote this piece with a twist of jazz to modernize the traditional approach to marches as represented by such composers as John Philip Sousa and as a tribute to the nation's new Vice President, Kamala Harris. So here it is, Madame Vice President, by Major Brian Dix, USMC, retired. Box Yezu, Joy of Man's Desiring, introduces our pandemic adjustment music news. It's entitled An Organ Recital with a Coronavirus Shot, published in the New York Times on the 25th of January, 2021. Alex Marshall. Salisbury Cathedral is joining Britain's vaccination drive, and its organists are providing a musical accompaniment. They've even started taking requests. Salisbury, England. On a recent Saturday afternoon, Margaret Drabble, 83, sat beneath the soaring arches of Salisbury Cathedral, swinging her legs back and forth under her chair like a schoolgirl. Minutes earlier, in a booth near the cathedral's entrance, she had received her first shot of the Pfizer vaccine against the coronavirus. But that wasn't why she was looking so happy, she said. Instead, it was from the elaborate organ music gently reverberating in the cathedral's interior. "Oh, I just love the organ," says Drabble, a former schoolteacher. "It's so beautiful, it almost makes me cry every time I hear it. I've always wanted to play it," she said wistfully. Then she looked toward the organ's 4,000 pipes at the front of the cathedral and sat up straight to listen. She had been told to stay put for 15 minutes to make sure she did not develop an allergic reaction. Britain is in the middle of a mass vaccination drive, racing to outrun the spread of the virus as a new variant discovered in the country surges. Salisbury Cathedral is, of course, more of a religious venue than a cultural one. But beyond the organ accompaniment, anyone inoculated in the 13th century Gothic building in southwestern England can also marvel at the architecture and contemplate several artworks throughout its grounds. Few visitors, however, were looking at those, but several were listening attentively to the music. "I live locally, and we've all been saying, 'Have you been to the organ recital yet?'" said Pam Snoop, 86. "We don't say, 'Have you been for a jab?'" she added, using a British term for a shot. She then closed her eyes to listen to Hall's play, the uplifting Bach chorale, Yezu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Patients have been getting the vaccine at Salisbury Cathedral since January 16, and it hosts the inoculation sessions twice a week for around 1,200 people a day. Sessions last 12 hours, and most of that time the cathedral's organists provide a musical backing ranging from well-known hymns to fairground tunes and euphoric classical works. That makes the cathedral one of the few places in the country one can hear live music right now. With much of Britain under lockdown restrictions, theaters, museums, and concert halls have been forced to shut. But in recent weeks, the British government's race to vaccinate its population has provided some cultural venues with a new lease on life. Some have become vaccination centers, taking advantage of their large, well-ventilated spaces and experience with managing crowds. Visitors now line up to receive shots instead of to look at display cases or to sing along to musicals. Nicholas Papadopoulos, the cathedral's dean, said he had offered the building as a vaccine hub as soon as he heard that a successful shot had been developed. "Our thought was a lot of elderly, vulnerable people who hadn't been out of their homes very much in the last year, if at all, would be coming," he said, adding that the team wanted to create an environment that is welcoming and reassuring and soothing. "The obvious solution was to make music," he said. David Halls, the cathedral's music director, said he had started by playing famous classical pieces from the likes of Bach, Mozart, and Handel. He said he then decided to branch out, playing show tunes like Old Man River and English music hall hits like I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside, hoping they would stir happy memories among the older listeners. The phrase smooth classics was what came to mind, Hall said. We didn't want anything too spiky or unpleasant or anything too fast. John Challenger, the cathedral's assistant music director, said that some local residents had started emailing requests. It's weird what people want, isn't it? Challenger said. Dan Henderson, one of the doctors overseeing the center, said the cathedral was a perfect space for vaccination, as its large, drafty space lowers the risk of catching the virus. The music was a bonus, he added, but it did have a medical benefit because it lowered people's anxiety. It's changing this from a medical intervention to an event, he said, and that really makes patients at ease. There was only one occasional downside, he said. We've had patients sit in the observation area for half an hour listening to the music when they're only meant to be there for 15 minutes. So sometimes it is actually impeding the flow of patients, Henderson said. But I think that's quite a lovely problem to have. Many visitors on that recent Saturday seemed to have that urge to stick around and enjoy the music. Sue Phillips, 77, was sitting in the waiting area with her husband, William, after getting a shot. The organists were taking a break, and she seemed disappointed by the silence. It'd be lovely if the organ were playing, Phillips said. All these old people, including us, have had a year deprived of culture, music, and beauty. Then we get a chance to get our jab to organ music. But shortly after, the organ surged into life in the familiar notes of Hubert Parry's Jerusalem, a patriotic English hymn, filled the space. Phillips's eyes brightened above her mask. Oh, wonderful, she said. This is magical. Looking at her husband, she said, I think we'll stay for another 10 minutes. And in rock and pop music news, we have this article entitled Stories Behind the Songs, from Henry Mancini's Moon River and the Beatles' Michelle, to Bruce Springsteen's Streets of Philadelphia and Beyoncé's Single Ladies. We tell the stories behind the Grammy Awards Top Song of the Year winners across the decades. This is written by Jim Farber and published in the 31st of January 2021, Parade Magazine. Michelle, Paul McCartney and John Lennon, 1967. Before the Beatles' Michelle took the prize, no rock band had ever won a top song trophy. In truth, Michelle couldn't have rocked less. It swayed to a lilting melody penned by McCartney to recall his days as a student, taking in Parisian culture. But because McCartney didn't speak French, he reached out to a friend for an assist with a translated part. He also got help from Lennon, who devised the I love you, I love you, I love you bridge of the song. Michelle went on to become one of only two song winners to feature non-English lyrics, the other, Volare, the very first winner in the category in the Grammy's inaugural year, 1959. Then there's Moon River, Johnny Mercer and Henry Mancini from 1962. It's hard to think of a song winner that's associated with more stars than Moon River. Audrey Hepburn was the first to record it for her role in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. But the first to get a hit with it was the smooth soul singer Jerry Butler, who took it all the way to number 11. Oddly, that's the same chart position earned by a version cut by one of the song's writers, Mancini, 2 weeks later. Not long after, Andy Williams made Moon his signature piece by performing 8 bars of it on his TV show for the next 9 years. Then there's the winner, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin from 1989. McFerrin created every sound in the a cappella Happy by overdubbing parts he either sang, belched, or yelped. The song's lyrics were inspired by a phrase popularized by an Indian mystic. But not everyone found joy in the piece. Blender magazine wrote that no song was more likely to plunge you into suicidal despondency than this one. Then there was Bruce Springsteen from 1995, Streets of Philadelphia. When the director of the movie drama Philadelphia, Jonathan Demme, asked the boss to write a song for his film about a man battling AIDS, Springsteen told him, "I'm not very good at scores." It seems few would agree. The composition was the Top Song Grammy as well as the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Demme's film also took that year's Best Actor Oscar with Tom Hanks. Then there's Single Ladies by Beyoncé, 2010. When Queen Bey recorded one of her most iconic songs, nearly everyone thought she herself was the single lady. In fact, she had secretly married Jay-Z. Still, she wanted her song to serve as an anthem for every woman trying to get their lover to commit. The issue, she told Billboard, is one people are passionate about, that's for sure. The song tapped the charts for 4 weeks and became one of the most karaoke'd singles of all time. Finally, today, there's Sailing by Christopher Cross, 1981. Cross says his song was inspired by a high school friend who took him sailing to ease his anxieties. Years later, he joked that if the friend distracted him with another activity, it might have been titled Bowling. Debussy's Clair de Lune introduces our local music news. Upcoming streaming concerts by the ncsymphony.org. Make plans to stream some romance music over the upcoming Valentine's weekend. Join the North Carolina Symphony on Saturday, February 13th, 2021 at 8 p.m. and hear beloved romantic music like Debussy's Clair de Lune and some fiery tangos by Piazzolla. Streaming series are now on sale. Concerts are just $20 each. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 877-627-6724 for additional information and ticket purchases. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which country has the most metal bands per capita? Is that A, the United States, B, Finland, C, Japan, or D, Brazil? And the correct answer is B, Finland. As noted by Alex Daniel in a February 27, 2019 article in bestlifeonline.com, titled 40 Facts About Music That Really Sing, perhaps headbanging is an effective way to keep warm. According to a Reddit user who created a map using data from Encyclopedia Metalum's archive of metal bands, Finland is home to the most bands of this genre, with 53.5 metal bands per 100,000 population. Second place was tied between two other Nordic nations, Sweden and Norway, at 27.2, while Iceland stole third place at 22.7. Although heavy metal music originated in the United States and the United Kingdom, their numbers for those countries were only 5.5 and 5.2, respectively. And the answer to our second question, what is the length of the longest musical performance? Was it A, just under 10 hours, B, a week, C, almost a month, D, exactly 1 year, or E, over 600 years? Correct answer is answer E, over 600 years long. As noted by Alex Daniel in the 2019 article in BestLifeOnline.com, the world's longest-running performance will end in the 27th century, a 639-year performance based on avant-garde composer John Cage's As Slow as Possible, started in September 2001 and is still running at St. Buchard Church in Germany. Cage is also the guy behind 4:33, a composition that consists of 4.5 minutes of whole rest, or in normal parlance, silence. The performance by an automated organ progresses so slowly that visitors have to wait months for a chord change and is scheduled to conclude in 2640. The performance is so slow that the organ it's played on was not even completed before the concert began. Pipes were added to keep the music steady in 2008. So let's sail away with Christopher Cross, and as he said earlier in today's program, just be thankful that his friend kept him from bowling.
Sailing takes me away to where I'm away.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion, go ahead and leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.